The Writer's Dossier podcast is a proud member of the Authors on the Air Global Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Melanie Anagnos, and this is my Writer's Dossier.
No writers were harmed in the production of this podcast.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to a special holiday edition of the Writer's Dossier. I'm Jeff Circle, but today I'm here joined with Melanie Anagnos, just an amazing person who's done a lot of stuff. Melanie, thanks for joining us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. It's really cool to meet you. Before we were talking about how cool it is, I wouldn't get to meet you any other way. So on these podcasts, we try to get out as much information about how cool you are to everybody and tell them a little bit about Night Swimming, your crime novel, which is really cool. So folks, hang on. Welcome to the Writer's Dossier. You're joining us here in the Dossier studio and speakeasy. And Melanie, where are you right now? Are you in New Jersey?
I am in New Jersey, yes. And I actually, I'm just back from the Jersey Shore, so that makes it even more Jersey.
Oh.
Yeah,
I
was visiting in Cape May, which is sort of the Christmas capital of New Jersey. So we spent a night there, and it was very, very festive.
So the Christmas beach of New Jersey, that's not anything like the German Kris Kringle markets and the Christmas markets that part of the world's known for. What's it like there for Christmas?
You know, it's a lot of lights. Well, Cape May is very charming. So people who have, I guess, ideas about the Jersey Shore are always surprised at Cape May because it's a little bit different. A lot of Victorian homes, and you know, it's just a very, very, you know, a lot of Christmas spirit, and they decorate the town. And I think I read somewhere that it was, you know, in New Jersey, it's the town that is most like a Hallmark Christmas movie location.
I don't know if I've ever heard New Jersey compared to a Hallmark Christmas card. You know, I'll agree with you. A lot of New Jersey gets a bad rap because I remember going to New Jersey when I was in college, went to school in Scranton, Pennsylvania, and used to hop on over. And as you might guess, went to Wildwood like all of us silly college tourists did. Doesn't sound like Cape May is anything like that. So.
Well, it's actually the next town over from Wildwood, but they're quite different. Yeah. But at the end of the day, it's still the Jersey Shore.
Still the Jersey Shore. So you have written in Night Swimming, which is a crazy title. I mean, automatically, you've got my attention. That was your debut crime novel, right?
That is my debut. Actually, the title is taken from an R.E.M. song, and I just love the title. I love the song, but the title just really spoke to me. Then, you know, I was looking for a cover, and I kind of always knew that I wanted a photograph. And I found this great photo of Main Street in Patterson in the 1970s. And I was able to track down licensing through the Patterson Museum was super generous to me. And yeah, so that was, I was just, when I found that photo, I just felt so, you know, it just really closed a circle for me.
That is really cool. I mean, we've got REM, we've got Patterson, New Jersey, we've got a crime novel, even the, like you said, the cover itself, it's really cool because that black and white shot of that street makes you, it can make you think a lot of things. And then you combine that with the title. Folks, Night Swimming by Melanie Anagnos. Melanie, tell us a little bit about Jamie and what your main character is up to there. Jamie's a cop. I used to be a cop. So automatically I'm in. But tell us about the book.
So Jamie is 3 years into his career as a police officer, and he gets pulled into an investigation of a double homicide. The book takes place in 1979. So, you know, this is before CCTV cameras and DNA. Yeah, you know, so it's his first, he's a very minor role in an investigation. But as he pursues, you know, different leads and he's interviewing different witnesses, he starts to unravel the crime in a way that he doesn't expect. And as he's unraveling the crime, the killer is very aware of his progress, and the tables start to turn.
I had pictures with that cover and that storyline. I had pictures of the beginning of LA Confidential when Guy Pearce goes into the Night Owl Diner and there's this, you know, this multiple homicide situation. He's climbing up the ranks. And so right there, I thought, wow, right off the bat, you've got a great situation in your scene, and then you, it goes from there, and then it just builds. I love that idea. But let me ask you this. Patterson, New Jersey. Again, we're going to hit on New Jersey a little bit. I've got some friends who live there. There's some authors out there. Shout out to J.M. Adams, author of Second Term, lives in Jersey. Patterson, you're from there. You wrote about there. You're there now. What is it about Patterson that made that town such a cool place to make a setting for night swimming?
Well, I think that's, you know, it's a little bit multi-layered. You know, and it's funny, you speak about L.A. Confidential. So much noir, so much crime fiction takes place in New York and L.A. And while, you know, you can have neighborhoods, I think there's a certain intention in a lot of that writing to make the city impersonal. You know, that's an element of those crime novels. And I wanted a small city where it was personal, where Jamie, you have that, you know, the cop, the community policing, he's getting into the neighborhood, people know him, he's seeing the same people over and over again. And so I, you know, it's a different kind of crime fiction than an LA or a New York novel. And Patterson, ironically, is a real muse for a lot of art. You know, you have the poetry, William Carlos Williams wrote Patterson. George Ticey was a photographer who did a series at the Met in New York on Patterson. And then you have Jim Jarmusch, who just did a film, Patterson. So Patterson, even for just this small industrial city in New Jersey, is very attractive to artists.
Is there a seedy side that helped give you some of those noir elements of maybe some bad things happening?
Patterson is a city in decline. It used to be the silk capital of the world. And then in the 1970s, you know, it went through economic collapse. And, you know, obviously that was devastating to the city. But it takes on a grit that is very, very rich for a crime novel.
Okay. So you brought up noir. And let's talk about noir in 1979. And then the third leg of that stool, New Jersey, which has a long reputation for parts of it being kind of bad in some areas. A lot of mob murders, a lot of, you know, hey, you know, forget about it kind of stuff, all of that. So with those three things and then the genre of it, what was most important to you? Having the setting as the character or using the background of Patterson in New Jersey and the reputation and the imaging? Why did you layer 1979 in there and then into that genre? Did something stand out about the late 70s era that really made that the right place to set this novel?
You know, that's a great question. I write a lot about the 70s. I have a Substack, and I find culturally the 1970s to be a really pivotal moment in American culture. So 1970s has always been very interesting to me. So I thought, I always wanted, you know, for writing crime fiction to really be to be very loyal to genre. And, you know, if you're writing crime fiction, you have to write a good story. You have to you have to have good characters. You have to have a good crime. But I was also layering culture into the novel. And that's just the era that always interested me the most.
What part of the decade are we talking about here? Are we talking about the early part of the 70s era where you've got some classic music, or the later part of the decade where like that REM started to hit in the 80s? Like, what part of the 70s are we talking about? Is the edges of the decade are really interesting. You chose 79. And so I'm thinking, you know, there's a 60s part of it at the beginning, and then there's an 80s part of it at the end. What struck a chord best with you?
Well, I think the late 70s is when things started to really fall apart. You know, like the 60s, you still had that, you know, that optimism of the 60s. But, you know, you go through the 70s, it was a really, you know, very tough time economically. And there was a lot of upheaval. I mean, you had a lot of, you would call terrorist organizations, a lot of political, a lot of political violence. So that the end of the 70s is you're sort of looking back, and it wasn't like looking back on the 60s where, you know, again, where you had so much promise. So, you know, I felt like culturally it was still a lot of dynamics that were with female roles in societies, things like that were really beginning to take hold. And for me, writing a male character, well, how is he, you know, how is that coming about, you know, investigating crime, particularly crimes against women?
Yeah, it was a tough time. You're right, because you still had the Camelot era hangover. Kennedy had Munich in 72 with the Palestinians and the Olympics. Yeah, then you go with things, gas lines. A lot of turbulence in the 70s, folks. And most of you don't remember, like Melanie and I do a little bit. But hey, you've been a lot of things. Let's start off with the worst of them. You were an attorney, right?
Yeah, that was the worst. Now you know the worst about me.
Yeah, there you go, folks. We lay it right out here on the Dawson. I told you nothing's off limits. But you were also, you're a mom of two kids and you're a waitress at one point. What was the order of those things happening?
I was a waitress all through the end of high school, all through college. And actually, I didn't stop waitressing until I finished my first year in law school. So I was a waitress for a long time in a diner because it's Jersey. And then I was an attorney. And then I stayed home to be a stay-at-home mom for my two kids.
Now, I know you've got two adult kids now, so I'm not going to ask you which did you like most? Because, I mean, it'd be terrible if you said, I really love being an attorney. But what I want to talk about is which one of those three things influenced your writing the most? Because you can get a lot of stuff from some of the things you see in or around the courtroom, or even just doing research, even law school's enough to give you a great imagination, let that run wild. But I waited tables too, just like you did. And oh man, there's so much rich content to pull from that. Just the stories of who comes in are limitless. So, and then having kids, oh my God, I'm sure. So what had the biggest influence on you while you're sitting down, you're pounding the keyboard and you're coming up with these ideas? What did you fall back on as far as research?
Well, I will say that doing research, because I am not a police officer, having been an attorney and being meticulous in my research, you know, that training was really helpful so that I could be as, you know, dedicated to, you know, being accurate as I could, not never having been a police officer. So, you know, that background was important. But in terms of creating characters, you know, you go through life, you meet people, and however you meet people, you know, that's you know, you're a storyteller. That's what you're doing. You're a storyteller. Anything that, you know, gives you material or insight into how people, you know, go about their, you know, their lives. You can get that as a waitress. You can get that as an attorney. You can get there raising two kids. Yeah. So I would say I probably drew on all of it.
Yeah, I remember waiting tables. I had so many interesting contacts waiting tables. I ended up writing an article for the city paper where I used to live, and I left everything anonymous, and I called it the Circle of Hell. And it was crazy things that people would ask and demand while they were coming to my restaurant and being ridiculous. So that was a lot of fun. But I think as being an attorney, though, too, you've run across some crazy people. So, and yeah, you also got some exposure to police, right? While you were, did you work in that side
of
law?
I didn't do criminal law. So, I mean, I studied criminal law because, you know, that, you know, certain, you know, you come across that in law school. I was never, excuse me, a prosecutor. You know, I understood it. You know, reading the paper, you have a little, you know, I had a little bit of, you know, insider knowledge as how these things work.
Well, I know we've had Alex Kenna on here. She's a fabulous writer from the West Coast. She's done some prosecution. And so, yeah, I love talking to attorneys about their writing. And, you know, of course, there's John Grisham and everybody and Bob DeGoni. But what made you turn to writing? How did you get started? Like, I mean, you've done all these things. You have all this rich background. Now I want to write a book. How'd you get there?
Well, I mean, I think the real start was when I was a kid, and I used to daydream a lot. So people have said, did you write when you were a kid? I was like, no, I used to just daydream. But yeah, so I always enjoyed writing, and I went for my MFA when my kids were not quite out of the house, but you know, almost out of the house. And I just enjoyed writing. And as I said, you know, to me, so much of writing is storytelling and thinking about what, you know, what would, you know, how, and character driven. I love reading books that are character driven. So when I'm sitting down, it's really about the characters for me. And just, you know, that's what I really wanted to do. And as I went through the MFA program, I learned more about myself as a writer and what would interest me, you know, motivate me to sit down and write and finish a book. And, you know, it was basically, you know, creating characters that, you know, were really interesting to me.
Hey, so on your I Love Me wall, you look up there and there are two diplomas. You got your JD and your MFA. Which one makes you smile the most?
MFA.
Of course. Of course. Hey, I've got one question before my last question. If you weren't writing, based on your background and everything that you've gone through, from daydreaming as a child to studying for the bar, what would you be doing creatively if you weren't writing?
That is so tough, because I don't really have that other creative outlet. I would probably finish the knitting project that I've always started and never finished. I would force myself to finish at least a scarf.
Finish a scarf. I love it.
If not a sweater, I would definitely do a scarf. But yeah, I always knitting, you know, doing things with your hands has always seemed like such a great outlet for stress. And I've never been good at it. And people say gardening and knitting. So I would probably do something like that.
I hope it has at least more than one color or some kind of pattern design to it.
Oh, and now you're pushing me.
All right. Last question. Melanie Anagnos, the author of Night Swimming, folks, available everywhere. Go to Amazon, just grab it. Melanie, the question is, where can we get a hold of you? Where can we follow you? You mentioned Substack, so people should go to Substack and follow what you're writing. But are you on social media? Tell us about your website. How do people get on the bandwagon here?
Well, I do have a website. Social media, I'm not that involved in Instagram, but I do have an Instagram account and Substack. I've been writing on Substack for about 2 years, and the name of that is Cherche La Femme. And but you can just look up Melanie Anagnos and you'll find it.
We'll put it in the show notes to make it easy for everyone. And the name of your website is it your name?
Yep, Melanie Anagnos.
Yes, it is. All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us. I'm so glad that you wrote this book. And I love the background that you poured into it, everything that goes in there. So I think people need to start following you and just grab a book and get that first sentence in. And I think you'll be in. And you're going to love Jamie. You're going to love the twist. You're going to love what happens, and take you back in time to when REM ruled. So Melanie, thanks so much for joining us here on the Writer's Dossier. It's great to see you.
Well, thank you and have a great holiday. Thank you so much for having me.
You betcha. You too. Bye, everybody.
The Dossier Podcast is a production of The Idea Academy.